Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest American Horror Story news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to AfterBuzz American Horror Story. It's our premiere episode for this awesome new show on FX, premiered last night. I am your host, Billy Nellis, and I am here with my co-host, David Scifoletti. Say hello,
hello,
David.
Hello, hello, hello.
And a AfterBuzz... Oh, coming in late, an AfterBuzz virgin, Brett Malik. Say hello, Brett.
Hello, all.
You can't see us tonight. Oh.
They clap for me?
Applause.
Just for you.
Just for me?
Yeah, so I'm old news.
You can't see us tonight. You can hear us, though. Next week, you will see all of our lovely faces.
Now you're going a little overboard.
A little too much, Phil. But
I love it.
But you will see us next week. But you got us here. We're going to break everything down for you. We've got an intense, incredible episode that premiered last night, 10 o'clock, Wednesdays on FX. Before we get into all the grisly details, Phil has got something to talk to us about. If you're in the LA area, something super exciting that's going on this Sunday.
Well, you guys know that I care about my host, correct?
Yeah.
I suppose. I just wanted to know real quick, what are you guys doing this Sunday?
Well, I am heading to CityWalk.
CityWalk, that's in Universal City.
Universal City.
Universal Studios, right.
Yeah. Where are you going? I mean, there's a lot of attractions there. Could you be going to the John Lovitz Comedy Club?
No, there's a bar there that's live karaoke. Like with a band.
Oh, that's equally as fun. But I'm sure it's because David lives under a rock, and
he
may not know that this Sunday, AfterBuzz TV will be at the John Lovitz Comedy Club doing a live viewing with its fans of Breaking Bad and then doing the season finale hosted by Maria Menounos.
Oh.
And the cast will be there as well.
The whole cast?
Most of the cast.
Oh, how exciting.
Very exciting.
How do we get tickets?
Well, you go to the John Lovitz Comedy Club, David.
Uh-huh.
I
have to show up there?
You have to show up there.
Oh, and buy tickets there.
You can buy tickets there, but you won't want to buy tickets there.
Okay.
Because it's probably going to be sold out, David. I know you haven't heard of the internet.
The what?
I know, the internet. It's such a new invention that you can buy tickets online to make it easier. So why wait in line buying tickets when you're not even guaranteed? That sucks.
That does suck. So what's the website?
The website is thejohnlovitzcomedyclub.com. Check it out.
John spelled J-O-N.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
the famous
so
comedian.
Clever. How much are tickets?
Tickets are $15, but hey.
It's a steal.
It is a steal, especially with what you're getting. And we're having the stars of the show. A lot of AMC crew members will be there. And hey, to boot, celebrities who love the show will be in attendance as well.
Not to mention all your favorite AfterBuzz hosts.
Sounds like a San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, I will
come see us and our pretty
there.
Faces, too.
Come stalk us.
That's right. You will see all of us there.
Yeah. Sounds like a great time.
I'm so excited.
There you go.
I'm excited, Billy.
No. It's, if you're a fan of the show and you live in L.A., why would you not be there?
That's true. It's...
And if you don't live in L.A., why not get tickets to go to L.A.?
Fly on out.
Fly on out. I mean, you're going to go to Universal Studios anyway. You might as well stop by and
make a weekend
hello.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
So I've seen American Horror Story ads everywhere, and it's the chick and the Edward Scissorhands dude falling.
No, he's like a latex rubber man.
Yeah.
Or is she falling? That's, I think, the question on everybody's mind. Is she falling or is he falling down?
Well, guys, I am excited for you guys to tell me and break down the series premiere episode. How about that?
All right. Let's get into it. Well, before we get into the intense details, let's give a quick overview.
Okay.
To remind people what they saw last night. So we saw the Harmon family. Mm-hmm. Ben, Vivian, daughter Violet, move across country. They're moving to L.A.
Why is that?
There's been an... Vivian had a horrible miscarriage. Ben cheated on Vivian. Vivian caught him. There's some crazy family issues going on. And they think a fresh start, this is what we need. So we're trekking to L.A. We're leaving the East Coast. We're leaving all of our seasons behind. And we're going to the land of hope. The land of dreams.
The land of gold.
The land of angels, Los Angeles.
Right? So, isn't there like a big rush?
Well, I think that was a little...
To California, the gold rush came out
a little further
here.
North.
Oh. Well, you know, I mean, it's a sort of the same idea. Everyone wants a fresh start.
Right.
So the logical
especially
thing to do,
cheat.
Right?
Yeah.
To L.A.
Yes. So they head out to L.A. They purchase their new home. It's a mansion with what we come to find out a violent, violent history, which we'll get into later.
Gorgeous mansion. Gorgeous.
Beautiful. Side note, I've never seen a house like that in Los Angeles. I
yeah, there's
say.
Houses like that downtown.
Downtown.
On your way to downtown, like on 3rd Street?
Like in, like, Angelino Heights?
In the hood, yeah, for sure.
Anyway,
in the hood.
This is a mansion that I've never seen in L.A. that I want to go to.
They're not, they would not be in an area that you'd want to be hanging out in during the daytime or the nighttime. But they do exist.
They
I have seen them.
So, the Harmon family moves in. They decide to take the house because it's being offered. We find out. For quite below market value. We'll get into why in a little bit.
I think Ben says at one point that they're getting the house for four times less than
what it should
be.
So something, there's a reason for that. So they've moved in. Things progressively get creepier and creepier. We meet Constance, their nosy neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Jessica Lange.
Yes, perfect.
That's Jessica Lange.
Mm-hmm. That is.
She looks incredible.
Moira O'Hara. The mysterious housekeeper who's been with the house maybe since its inception. We'll figure that out. And we also come to meet Tate, who is one of Ben's patients.
He's a psychiatrist.
We also meet Adelaide. Don't forget.
We can't forget Adelaide.
You cannot discredit the gorgeous Adelaide.
Constance's daughter.
Yes.
Right. So, breaking things down, I think the first thing that we want to look at, really the biggest character of the show.
Uh-huh.
Isn't a living person. It's the house. I think the house, number one, is our main, the main star of this show.
Claire.
We open up with our prologue in 1978, where we do meet Adelaide as a young girl, and we see the house.
Lots of foreshadowing.
Super creepy house.
Right.
There's like a dog bone wind chime outside, and like this creepy little girl standing outside.
Overgrown yard. Typical haunted house.
Typical, like, no one's taking care of this house because the grass is growing.
And you die if you go in.
Right.
And this creepy little girl with Down syndrome tells you...
You're gonna die.
You're gonna die.
You're gonna die in there. So we see the twins, these... Troy and the other one. I don't think we ever found out.
Never find out the other kids' names.
They were ginger twins. Let's leave it at that.
And I mean, if you want anything creepier than like a little creepy girl with Down syndrome, then you get redheaded twins.
Right.
Let's just put that out there.
So creepy house, girl with Down syndrome in the yard, ginger twins. We're off to a great start.
Thank you, Ryan Murphy.
So
all the elements are there. You didn't have to do anything.
The kids enter the house and it's abandoned and they start destroying it.
Or is it abandoned? That's like where I was confused. I'm not sure if people were actually living there anymore or if the people that were living there are insane.
I think it was an interim between the last owners and the new ones that have to move in.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
I think it was a down period. It was a down period for the house.
It's a down slope in real estate.
Right, right. So the house is taking a beating from these kids and the house fights back. At least
Adelaide
what it
was
seems.
Right.
To say the least.
They regretted it.
Yeah.
They regret it. So
should have listened to Adelaide.
Right. Adelaide knows.
Clearly, because...
Voice of reason.
She is the voice of reason, and there's something that she's seeing that
no one else.
No one else is obviously
seeing. In tune to another level, I would say, with this house. So we jump ahead to present day. Yes. We see this murder of these twins. We jump ahead to present day, where we meet Vivian first.
Yes.
Vivian Harmon, visiting her doctor.
Connie Britton.
Right. Excellent Connie Britton, Friday Night Lights.
Good for her.
Yeah.
New job.
Right on it. So we see Connie with her doctor, and it seems that something's happened. We don't really know yet.
She's not the woman doctor.
OBGYN.
He's all up in her, so something is going on with her woman.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's a little obvious that... Oh, yeah. She's not urinating.
Oh, okay.
You clearly have a sense for what is going on and what they're talking about, because clearly she's talking about there was all this blood and I just want my period to get back on its regular schedule.
That there was a miscarriage.
Yeah, of course. Like the obvious next step, miscarriage. And he wants to pump her up with hormones and she's like, I'm all natural.
Yeah.
She's an organic girl.
Bitch, please.
She is. So she has her visit. She goes home. She's in the house. No one's supposed to be home. And she hears a noise. And we find out she stumbles upon her husband, Ben, Dylan McDermott, having an affair in the bedroom.
Typical.
Speechless.
Yeah. Speak.
Dylan McDermott would never do that, really.
Yes, he would. Give me a break. Have you seen him?
I know. But I was waiting until we get to Ben. There's at least, I counted like 3 good long nude scenes we haven't even gotten to yet.
Look at Bill's face.
Well, speaking of the cheating, I was just going to give there's a fun new website called Cheatville.
Uh-huh.
And it shows you people who are cheating or who have been known to cheat. So
that you won't date them?
Yeah, so hopefully, you know what? She should have just checked that perhaps he would have been on there.
I don't know how legal
is this like sounds. Facebook for cheaters? What is this?
I mean, I'm just saying she should have checked it.
She should have.
She's
in a long marriage, though.
You know, I think a lot of things happening in their marriage. I mean, they were trying to have a child, and she had a miscarriage. And
by the way, I will say all my opinions are based on nothing. I have not seen this episode.
That's fine, I think. You're watching it right now, and we're giving you
I
a
believe
recap.
The next scene after the she finds him cheating is them...
We jump ahead to them traveling, moving to L.A.
Driving into L.A.
Right. Yes.
With the daughter.
With the daughter, Violette.
Oh, we see. Hold on 1 second. I think we have a technical problem with Billy's headphones.
Billy's headphones.
We're going to try to get him on new ones. Hold on 1 second.
So I'll
David, you carry
on.
The show.
Spirits.
Yeah. I'll continue on. So we're in the car with the family, with Ben, Vivian, and their daughter, Violet, who we meet is a teenager. She's definitely a firecracker.
She's dark.
Super dark. I'm sort of obsessed with her after this episode. I want to be her. I want to be her friend. I just want to hang out with her. I mean, she's awesome. Let's
right.
not lie. I mean,
she's a tough
she
chick.
Is the teenager we all wanted to be.
She likes the house, too,
and the
it's
adults
dark.
We all are now. Yeah. She's obsessed with the house.
Right. So we follow them as they come to visit the house. They've only seen it online. They have not actually. This is their first visit to the mansion.
Which, to their credit, it can be a very tricky thing. Trying to buy a home over the internet.
Right. From across the country.
From across the country.
Yeah.
They sort of lucked out.
Well,
to an
did
extent.
They?
Did they? I mean,
at the end of the hour, we may think they should have never left. But it's getting ahead of ourselves. So we see them touring the house with their real estate agent, who she's visibly uncomfortable. This woman does not want to be in this place.
Right.
So we already know. I mean, we've already seen some craziness. So we know that no one should want to be there either.
Right.
This woman clearly knows what's gone on.
Sort of reminds me of the opening scene to Amityville Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Seems to be a big influence.
Yeah.
I was making that comparison earlier.
Definitely, obviously, an influence on the creators. Mm-hmm. One of their big influences. So this woman just wants to get this house off her hands. She doesn't want to deal with having to sell this anymore. She wants to find someone who will take it.
I mean, it's just so funny to me that the same real estate agent is selling the same house over and
over
and over again. She sold
it to the previous tenant.
Well, it is their property. That does happen.
Does it?
Yeah. I've seen it a lot on TV. I don't have experience buying homes.
It happened on Desperate Housewives.
It did. Desperate Housewives, Edie Britt
was
a realtor, and
she
kept the house. Anyway, neither here nor there. She wants to get rid of the house. The family is touring the house. And they ask about the previous owners. And this is when we come to find out that the previous tenants were a gay couple
mm-hmm.
who, as the realtor has to disclose, did die in the house.
Murder-suicide.
In the basement, which is where we saw our other activity. So something, the basement seems to maybe be the hub.
Not
of evil.
The hub of evil, where something's living. Something's right. kept itself.
That's like sort of like in Charmed also, where the Nexus was.
Except Shannon Doherty isn't in the basement.
What? Shannon Doherty wasn't evil on that show.
I'm sorry, I mean, real life, that's what I was thinking.
Well, it seems to me that, like, all evil things live in the basement, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you might as well just board it up and never go in.
Never go down there.
It's, never go in the
never
basement.
Never a good idea. If a basement door creaks open on its own, shut it. I mean, I think that's
Nail
the
it.
Wisest
shut.
Thing to do.
Yes.
So, even
Wait
though...
for it. There it is.
Oh.
Ignore it. Don't go near
don't
it.
Go.
Don't go down.
Don't go.
No, if the light doesn't work, that's your second clue. Get out. Don't go down. So anyway.
There goes Constance.
Loving the sound.
There's Adelaide.
So the family, even though there's a grisly history, they can't deny that it's an awesome deal for a beautiful house. So they take it. They go with it anyway. We see them.
Who pops in?
Well, we see... Excuse me. So Constance, who we come to meet as Vivian, is taking down some wallpaper in one of the creepy rooms. And the wallpaper, or the artwork underneath, gets progressively creepier and creepier as she's tearing this wallpaper down, which I thought was really amazing.
I love
that artwork underneath.
The artwork underneath.
The wallpaper
but like,
was
to
so
think
bizarre.
That a woman who is going through what she's going through... and is moving into this new home and is so freaked out by, like, her neighbors and, like, everything that's going on with the house. And she's uncomfortable with the fact that the previous owners died in a murder-suicide. And she's pulling down this wallpaper. And underneath is, like, this,
gruesome.
Like, Dante's Inferno type art. And she says that she's comforted by it. I think is a little bizarre to me.
Yeah, it's a little weird. But maybe it's something that's more intense than what she's going through. So it can...
Maybe.
Can lessen her load.
Maybe.
And she also said she just kind of likes it because it's just something she is doing.
That she can do.
And she's not even really, maybe she's not even really noticing what is underneath it, but she's just busy.
Enjoying like the monotony of
she's busy.
Doing something.
So as she is tearing down the wallpaper, we hear a familiar voice come behind her. And what do we hear? You're gonna
die in here.
You're gonna die in here. And she turns around and sure enough, it is our present day Adelaide.
She's a crazy
Who,
bee.
If you... are as astute as I am.
Chances are
you're going to realize that she hasn't aged enough from 1978 to 2011.
Right.
And usually people with Down syndrome don't live that long, regardless. Mm-hmm. But she would be much older.
Yeah.
Because she looks like she's probably in her maybe late teens, early 20s.
Right.
At best.
She doesn't look as old as maybe she should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely something...
Something there is fishy. And then her mother comes in...
She does live in L.A. She's gotten lots and lots done. Lots of work done.
I mean, that's probably an option.
That's why.
So then her mother pops up, Miss Jessica Lange, Miss Constance.
Who also looks like she doesn't belong in this decade.
But in real life, she hasn't aged that much, so...
No, I'm not just saying...
I'm just complimenting how well Jessica Lange has aged.
Yes, she looks incredible, but... The way she styled her hair and her clothes.
She's of a different time.
She's definitely of a different time in the way she speaks and the way she carries herself. She sort of doesn't fit in in 2011,
present day. So we see this introductory scene to Constance here. We really get a feel for who this woman is. She's really interrogating Vivian, kind of really making her uncomfortable. But through that we come to understand who Constance is. She came to
sort
LA.
Of, I think.
Who Constance wants us to think she is.
Yes.
She came to LA, she wanted to be an actress, she wanted to be a movie star, but she wouldn't do nudity. She's a good old Southern Virginian girl and she wouldn't take her clothes off.
Right.
So she had to put that small butterfly of a dream in a box and put it away.
Mm-hmm. She wouldn't show her green pastures.
And then she says, probably my favorite line from the show, and then I had the mongoloid.
Yes, she is referring
to And I couldn't work after
Adelaide.
That.
And then I just fell in love with her.
Right. Right. And clearly Vivian is repulsed. Vivian really wants nothing to do with this woman, and she's making her...
Well, she's a little off-putting and scary, I would say.
She's uncomfortable.
She referred to her daughter as a mongoloid.
So she comes in, after you know, presenting herself, she gives Vivian a gift of sage, telling her that there are too many bad memories in this house, and maybe this could ward off some bad juju. So Constance has clearly been there for a long time, obviously at least since 1978, who knows if longer.
Oh, right. And she's also explains that her daughter has an affinity for the house, something up her
rear end about it.
She'll
always find a way in.
She'll always find a way in. She likes the house. We'll sneak in as...
Well, we'll have to wait and see. We'll get to that in predictions, I think, because I sort of have an idea of maybe what's going on.
Right. So, as Vivian is taking to the house with her sage, she's cleansing it, she's trying to get rid of the whatever Constance has alluded to, she comes upon the drop-down for the attic crawl space. Another area I would typically tend to avoid in a new home. That's kind of bizarre. But
cue the crawl space opening sound.
What's weird is that the attic wouldn't bother me as much, and that would probably be the first place I would go.
The attic?
Yeah, because people don't really do
Isn't
anything
like
in the attic. They
in
like
attics, though?
No, not anymore.
It's an old house.
It's just an old. I mean, maybe there is asbestos
like
up there, but
like
usually, if there's like a murder suicide or something like that, you might be able to go up into the attic and find like old boxes, old belongings, and find like cool things to put out. Maybe like a weird creepy doll.
Right. Well,
or a leather bodysuit.
Right. As we see, Vivian doesn't find some fun mementos. She finds a fetish outfit instead. What is it hanging from? How is that?
It's like hanging from
a rafter.
And it's filled, it's filled with something.
Well,
it's not just hanging.
I would assume that a leather bodysuit would keep its shape.
You think?
Without anybody in it.
So,
all I know is I had to throw mine away after this episode. Creep me out.
So Vivian comes upon the fetish outfit, freaks out. Ben comes up. She tells him to throw it away. She doesn't want this in the house. It's weird. She doesn't like it. So we do see Ben throwing it away, which is a key point. We do witness Ben throwing it away. We come to see Ben finally in his office. We get more of an understanding of his work.
He is a psychiatrist, right. We found out earlier in the episode.
Right. He told the realtor that he was going to work in an office space in the home. He wanted to be with near his family after what they've been through and to try and rebuild.
Understandably
so. It's honorable.
So.
It's a nice thing. So he's taking patients into the house, which it's always kind of weird to bring in maybe some unstable folks into your home.
Yeah, but you'd also think that like a psychiatrist would make sure that if you're bringing unstable people into your home, that you're going to keep the rest of the house closed. Like find
closed
a way to like
you.
Lock the doors
or
like
have a
put
separate
up a door
space.
Or have
a separate
space.
Entrance.
Somewhere where they can't wander throughout the house.
Right, and it seems that as we see, maybe Ben isn't that good at that.
No, clearly not.
Right.
We also
so,
have some rebellious patients, though. He
true.
Can't control that.
So we meet Tate. Tate.
Crazy teenager.
Crazy Tate. Who...
Tate's character scares me most of all for one reason, in the real reality of his anger. He, you know, he in the session shares, you know, he has dreams of killing people at school,
yeah.
Which is a very real... you know, terror scenario that we've right. seen in the real world. So I think Tate's element of, you know, fear that he has the show is a very real element. It's not
realist.
Supernatural.
Yeah.
Right. And even what he says in the sessions, that he wants to kill the people he likes.
Which
he's
makes
not even,
no sense.
Well, he goes on to talk about how filthy this world is and how it's so repulsive that he wants to save them and bring them to somewhere better. So he's
somewhere clean.
Somewhere clean. So he sees himself as sort of some avenging angel, someone who is going to save the people who he cares about, which should set off alarms when he takes a liking to Violet.
Right. But the thing is that when they showed him in his dream, they, walking through the schools, the halls at school, they don't show him looking like this like avenging angel or like in a great light. I mean, they sort of have him with like the skeletal makeup on, which if you know Thierry Mugler,
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
past season, not this one, but the one before, had all his models walking down
yes.
with the same makeup on. I mean, it's a very dark look
mm-hmm.
with his hair slicked back and wearing like the same thing that...
It kind of reminded me of The Crow.
Yeah, I mean, he's wearing, like, the long leather jacket and, like, the very, like, ideal typical of what you'd think, like, a a child, a teenage, like, massacre is going to happen in a school.
What you'd wear when you would kill people.
Right. You wear, like, a long leather trench coat, all black. You slick your hair back.
Obscure what you're bringing in. Right. Yeah. So there's some real issues here. There's some serious issues with Tate, as we come to see throughout the rest of the episode, when he does sort of meet Violet and takes a liking to her. And
she takes a liking to him.
Right. Too. They both seem to... He catches her cutting herself, which was a big development. We see that Violet is a cutter. And he catches her, and through that they bond. And she tells him about these bullies at her new school, and they devise a plan to get back at this girl, to get her off her case.
But it seems like to me, like, Violet didn't even really need his help. She was pretty much holding her own by fighting back,
right,
and doing pretty good. I mean, granted, it's three girls that she's fighting against, but if you give it a chance...
I think he just took it to another level that she might not have.
Right. Well...
Since she's a little, I think, a little more sane than Tate would.
Just a hair.
Just a little bit. Just a little. Now, the last character that we met might be my favorite, because I think the most interesting,
mm-hmm,
when we meet Moira O'Hara, the housekeeper. I think there's the most mystery surrounding this woman. We first meet her when Vivian is hanging the laundry, and we meet her as an old woman. Frances Conroy, the mother from 6 Feet Under, playing her. We meet, that's who's portraying Moira, and she explains to Vivian that she has been with the house for God knows how long. And
well, she said something very interesting to me. She said that people come and go, but I stick around.
Right. She's the constant. She's a constant in this house.
So she believe that she is in on something on another level with this house.
She's attuned to something. She's maybe even an agent of the house. We don't know.
Right.
So we see her with Vivian. She's explaining how it works, her hours. Vivian doesn't really seem to want to have a housekeeper. Initially, she's kind of put off, it seems like, maybe just because she came out of the blue.
And she's creepy and has a glass eye.
Is it a glass eye? It just seems like a milky eye.
It looks cloudy. It's cloudy.
Or cataracts.
It's cataracts, I think.
Yeah.
Either way.
So,
would you like want to look at that for 4 days a week?
Maybe not. But if she knew the ins and outs of my brand new house and was going to clean it, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't have to be her friend. I just need to let her wash my dishes. So they enter the house. She's going to call a cab because she takes Vivian's dismissal of her, and she just says she wants to call a cab. So they're in the house, and Ben comes home, and this is probably one of the bigger shocks, bigger twists.
The scene, in particular, the way they shot it was very,
so
very...
So well produced.
Right.
Very well produced.
Yeah.
They show her from one side as Moira, the character, Frances...
Frances Conroy.
Frances Conroy. It pans around the back of her head to her other side, and she's a completely different person. She's a young woman.
It's a young woman, and clearly this is what we're led to believe. This is how Ben sees Moira.
But only
how she appears to Ben. Only Ben sees Moira as a 20...
the inner sluttiness of the mom from 6 Feet Under.
Right. She's a brand new actress, and she's a young, sexy girl, and this French maid with garter belts and the whole nine yards, and this is how Ben sees her. And so Ben clearly doesn't want her in the house because there's some things that he is wrestling through with his infidelity. And so he's shocked when Vivian says, What the hell? Let's keep her on. I could use some help. And he's surprised by this. He doesn't really understand how to deal with it because of how she seems to him. So it's definitely, I think, my choice for favorite character. I'm so excited to see where this goes.
How it happens.
I mean, it's so interesting to me that they would choose to have an older woman portrayed and only the women see her like that, and then the men see her as this young, hot, sexy girl. I mean, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I am really excited as well
that
to see like where... Where they're going to take this character.
What I think will be the most interesting to see is whether all men see Moira as a young woman or if it's just for Ben.
Right, that's what I was wondering. Like, if another sane man...
It'll be exciting to see someone else from outside the family come in and how Moira is shown at that point. And we do see that towards the end, that showdown between Moira and Constance. Constance sees her as an old woman.
Right.
Constance sees her as Frances Conroy. Mm-hmm. And there is clearly some history
but
here.
What did Constance say to her? She said maybe the old whore needs to go.
Right. Right. And
so despite the fact that she may have been an old woman at one point, maybe when she was younger, she was this young, hot girl who was a whore.
Right.
Clearly.
And there were two, I wrote these down in that final showdown with Constance and Moira, two lines that were so telling. The first one, Constance says to her, "I'd be nervous if I was you too." So an allusion to maybe there's something else there, that it's not just one thing.
Right.
It's not just one person. And then, obviously, the biggest line, the biggest shocker from that confrontation, Constance is walking out of the room and tells Moira, "Don't make me kill you again."
Right.
What?
What?
I know,
what?
Like, biggest shocker ever.
What does that mean?
So, obviously, there are agents of the house who are dead, undead, living, walking.
Right. And that's what led me to believe what I believe that I will reveal in predictions.
Right.
But we'll get to that.
Right. We'll get to that.
I don't want to talk about it
we'll
yet.
We'll get to that. So let's talk about... I want to get into Ben and Vivian's fight.
Okay.
So they have this cathartic fight where they finally unload this baggage that they have been carrying. They've mentioned they've gone through 6 months of therapy, but it seems like this fight is the first time that they've ever actually been honest with each other about how they felt.
I had a very big problem with this scene.
Okay.
Only because the whole episode, you're going through it and there's like all the creepy things happening, the weird things happening with Tate and Violet, and then Moira and Constance, and then Adelaide. And then there's just, in the middle of all this, towards the end of the episode, they give you this fight scene, and it just seemed completely out of place
to me.
See,
I kind of liked it because the whole show is so creepy, and I think all of the actors in the show are such great actors.
They are.
That I liked seeing that very, you know, well-acted, passionate dialogue, where, you know, everything else might be more quippy, like short scenes,
right,
short lines. It gave them a chance to, you know,
right,
really
act. And I think, I to latch onto what Brett was saying, I think that it was necessary, because I think without it, this episode may have just been a bunch of bells and whistles.
Right.
And I think that this provided the character, the emotional meat that you would latch onto to invest yourself.
Right.
I think that was necessary, because without that, it was just maybe a bunch of tricks and random vignettes and just these people going through time. I think if you take that out, you look at it and there's really
nothing there.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I think that, but let's break it down. So they have this huge fight.
Have a great big fight.
They haven't had sex in a year. Ben wants to have sex.
That's about to change.
Ben wants sex. We've seen him maybe twice earlier in the episode, two separate times.
Maybe more.
Try to initiate a romantic, a sexual encounter.
We've seen him pleasure himself at one time.
Well. And then he cries.
Yeah. Yeah. He's clearly carrying some
guilt. I always bring it back to him being naked in the episode.
Which he was, which we know that Ryan Murphy loves to do with men on his TV shows, is get them as nude as possible, as often as possible.
Right. So they haven't had sex in a year. Ben is finally fed up. He tries one more time, and Vivian is like, "I don't want it. I can't yet." Which is understandable.
Yeah, she had a miscarriage, and then he
and
cheated
then was
on
cheated
her.
On. So there's trust and the emotional pain of what sex did with the baby. There's all of that in Vivian's head, and she still can't. She's not ready.
Right.
But Ben is done. We see Ben really throw a fit. He is...
I mean, he does.
He does.
He is, like, pissed off, and he yells at her, "I can show you the statistics of how many men cheat after
right.
their wife
is
miscarriage."
One of the most unusual comebacks in a fight you've
right?
ever...
I'm going to use that.
...throw at someone.
Right.
I'm going to show you the statistics.
I'm a majority.
So it's fine.
It is fine. I mean, it's not fine, but if that is the case... I mean, it's understandable that a man would cheat on his wife after she had a miscarriage, because
right.
the last thing on the woman's mind is having sex right
and,
now.
Right, and clearly in her, as he goes to explain, she pulled away from him.
Right.
And he was hurting too. And that was his defense, is that he was also in pain, that she's not the only one who lost a child.
Right.
The
big difference there is that he lost a child. He lost his son as well. But she had to carry a baby for 9 months while it was dead, and
right.
then had to give birth to
right, of course.
A dead baby, which I think is very taxing on a woman. I mean, either way, even if you don't find out that your child is dead before you give birth to it, and then while you're in labor, your child dies, and you still have to get that baby out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like there's no more life in you. You know, you can't.
Yeah. It would take a long time. I feel.
To heal those wounds.
So both of them are wounded. Both of them are shattered people. Really, they're shells of people. They're just kind of going through their day. Just tearing wallpaper down. That's all they can do. It's all right.
Oh, good metaphor.
That's all they can do right now is just do these menial tasks that don't mean very much because they don't really know what meaning is
going through the motions.
Right. So they have their big, huge fight, which then somehow turns into sex,
as all big, crazy, angry fights do.
So they have their sex, and the scene cuts away.
Sexy time.
They have their passionate. Sort of a reunion, because when we see when she thinks she's speaking to Ben, she's warmer. She's making jokes. It seems like maybe this was something that was necessary for them to reconnect on this carnal level.
Yeah, and you see earlier in the episode, or maybe it's right after that, Vivian is talking to her daughter Violet, who just came home, and Violet is like, why don't you guys just get a divorce if you hate each other so much? And she's like, we don't hate each other. We love each other, and we need each other, but we're going through a rough patch right now.
Right. They're wounded, and they're trying to figure things out.
Still.
But there's still that love, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So Vivian, after this passionate afternoon lovemaking and arguing, is getting ready for bed, and she sees in her doorway, what does she see?
She sees the
rubber man. The rubber man appears, and we're confused because we clearly saw Ben throw this away.
Right.
Is he Ben in the rubber suit?
Well, that's what Vivian
thinks. She says, didn't I tell you to throw that away? She plays along. I can be kinky. And she clearly is under the impression this is her husband.
Yeah.
They make it confusing, though, because they do flashes between, you know, the masked face, Ben's face. They do flashing shots.
But it seems
him
like
on top of her in the suit, him on top of her not in the
suit.
Right.
It seems like Ben, though, is downstairs,
sleepwalking again,
or in a trance, holding his hand over fire.
Right.
So it's confusing about...
It seems... The way that I took from the edit was him on top of her was just who she... Because she thought that's who it was.
That's what she was seeing.
Yep. Because she couldn't see him in the suit. Clearly he wasn't there, because we saw him throw that away, and we see him in the kitchen doing what he's doing, which we'll get to in a second.
Right.
So we're wondering, who is the rubber man? And we'll talk about that towards the end. We'll take a poll.
Okay.
We'll start a little game. We'll make a running tab of who we think the rubber man is.
Okay.
So she has her, and it seems like a really bizarre encounter. It doesn't seem like she doesn't enjoy the sex very much.
She's crying throughout the whole lovemaking sesh.
Right.
She's getting a rash from
these two people.
Friction.
They have so many issues with sex. I mean, earlier we see Ben masturbating, and then when he's done, cries. We see her making love to whom she thinks is her husband, crying. Like, if it's that painful or to, like, have sex with someone, maybe it's not the best time.
Right. So she thinks she's had sex with Ben in the rubber suit. We are led to believe she hasn't. At the same time, Ben has started to hear voices and has started sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
We see him first. He, in one of his nude scenes that we all fell for,
he goes down. I'm keeping tabs on every episode.
Okay.
He goes down to the fireplace and lights this huge fire. Vivian comes down. What are you doing? And he says to her, am I in a dream?
Right.
And then the scene ends. Ostensibly, she brings him back to bed. She wakes him up. So as she's having sex with Everman, it's the second time we witness this. And he is over the stovetop now, not near the fireplace, and he's lit every burner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting his hand towards it. And he's still in his trance. Seems like he's back in a sleepwalking trance. And who comes in but Constance?
Right. What did she say?
How did he get in? Is what I don't.
And Constance says to him, "Now is not your time.
Right.
Enjoy the house. Go back to bed."
So Constance obviously has been with the house for a long time.
Right.
But is she dead? Is she alive?
Right.
Is she part of the house?
Right. Is she a manifestation, which we'll talk about in a second? But so the house is starting to play games with everybody.
Right.
It seems like. It's digging its way into everyone. And we see that it's done this before when Ben is in, encountered by and chased by this man with burns all over his body who explains that his name is Larry Harvey, mm-hmm. and he lived in the house, and he's warning Ben, get out of this house,
it's not
safe.
He said he lived in the house for 6 months.
Right. Well, he was in the house for 6 months before he started hearing voices. He's hearing voices, and then the house told him to set his wife and 2 daughters on fire.
Right.
And he did. And in the process, he burned 70% of his body. Yeah. Now his brain cancer got out. So he's on a mission to maybe try and save Ben. Do we think he's on a mission?
Honestly, this guy, I believed him up until the point when he was done. Ben, he like tells him all this stuff. I've been in jail for a triple homicide. I burned my 2 daughters and my wife, and I got burns on 3/4 of my body. And then he tells him all this stuff, and Ben like runs away, like leave me alone, whatever. And then he has this creepy smile on his face.
For some reason, I feel like he's the only one who might be a normal person, not attached to the house.
I don't think he's attached to the house. I think he's mentally unstable.
He has brain cancer.
So that makes you crazy.
Might be eating away.
If it's on the part of your brain. It can. But I got an intense feeling that he was planting something into Ben's head.
Yeah,
he was on a mission to not save Ben, but to maybe make him even crazier.
Yeah, I think.
And
he's
that smile at the end of that scene said to me, "I did it." Like that was there's definitely a motive here that I think we'll come to see, and we'll talk about that in a second. So we've seen how it's affected Ben. It's affected Vivian. Violet has her own issues. She's gone to school. She's gotten to these weird, crazy screaming matches with this insane girl who doesn't like cigarettes. And she wants to...
It looks like Nikki Reed from 13.
she totally does. To deal with this girl. And she unwisely enlists the aid of Tate, who we know is unbalanced.
And also seems to always be around.
Right. Mm-hmm. Somehow just is there. He's always there. We don't ever see him come to the house. He's just in the house.
He's just there.
Right. So he tells her that she has to make this girl so scared of her that she will never mess with her again.
Right.
And he's going to help her do that. All that Violet needs to do is get this girl to the house, and he'll take it from there. It has to be at the house, which is something that I think we need to note, and we'll talk about in a second, and I'll tell you why I think we need to note that.
Okay.
But she brings this girl to the house under the lure of cocaine, because the girl's a cokehead, and she's going to bring her to give her drugs, and Tate brings out this sort of holy terror on this girl in the basement in a very creepy scene. We don't know what exactly is happening.
No, if you're watching closely,
he's not even there. He's behind Violet at one point.
Yeah. He jumps on her at the beginning, and then he's behind Violet.
Watch.
Right.
And something else is on the bully.
What I refer to as Gollum with shark teeth.
Right.
Because that's what it looks like.
Right. It's very...
A little more unnerving. Yeah. A creature than Gollum, I would say. Well, so, Gollum's
pretty
scary.
There's a Gollum with shark teeth.
Yeah. I guess.
And in a white dress, like a white communion dress.
But it looks similar to the little thing in some ways that attacked the gingers.
I think it was the same thing mm-hmm.
maybe
that attacked them.
What it seemed to me was when we saw it in the beginning, when it attacked the twins, it was younger. I feel like this is something... I feel like maybe this is something that's living in the house and is also aging.
I think so.
Because it's in
well.
Some sort of weird baby's communion dress.
Right.
It's in some baby's outfit. This white communion robe or whatever you put your... Or not
it's
even
a dress.
Like a bap, I don't know if it's communion, but maybe like a baptism.
Yeah, a baptism dress.
Dress that you put on your child. And I feel like this... Something happened, and it will definitely obviously... as the season progresses, come to understand what.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I hope so.
I would hope.
I think that was one of my more favorite creepy scenes of the entire.
Yes.
That
was probably
done with the strobe light, which made it even weirder because you couldn't see what was going on. You know, the images were flashing in your face. It was unnerving.
Very unnerving. So all the members of the Harmon family are now somehow, the house has worked its way into their lives.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we've got some more fun for you guys.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy,
Ducky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your After Buzz on.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back to After Buzz American Horror Story premiere episode. Again, I'm your host, Billy Nellis, here with David Scafletti and Brett Malik. And we've just spent a good amount of time breaking down the complex events of the premiere episode of this crazy, creepy, nutso show.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday nights, you're at home, you're watching FX, you've just finished American Horror Story, and you're thinking, I don't want my night of terror to end. Well, we're going to help you out. For at least the month of October, we are going to bring you every week a recommendation of another American Horror Story that plays on the themes that you just saw in the episode. So tonight we're going to talk about The Shining, classic Stanley Kubrick,
classic.
1980.
And Shelley Duvall wears
the
most
gorgeous,
amazing
gorgeous
red
Duvall.
Boots in that movie.
The beautiful Shelley Duvall.
Otherwise known as Olive Oil.
Right. So, The Shining, 1980, it's a classic based on Stephen King novel. We see a family, not unlike the Harmon family, mm-hmm. father, mother, son. They move into a hotel. This hotel, not unlike our mansion, has a crazy past. There's a violent history.
Well, first of all, who moves into a hotel?
Right. It's going to be the off-season caretaker where no one else is going to be there. And it's not even when people are there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who moves into an abandoned hotel?
Right. Well, that's why he took the job, because, like, they want
him to... He's a writer. Yeah. He wants to be
away from
the world and write. So this is the perfect opportunity.
Go to Starbucks.
I can't focus when I'm at Starbucks.
So Jack Nicholson moves his family into the hotel. Things go nuts. He slowly descends to madness. We're not going to ruin it for you, because we want you to watch it. We want you to enjoy this film. Needless to say, the hotel and its various recent and beyond inhabitants
play some games
with the family. A motif that I think was definitely something that played into this episode was the twins. We see the pop-up of the dead twins in this episode, which reminded me extremely familiar of The Shining,
yeah.
Which, as everyone probably knows, has a set of creepy girl twins.
I think The Shining has some of the most memorable moments in, like,
pop culture,
horror
really iconic,
film,
right.
Like, history. I mean, there's the dead twins, for sure. Here's Johnny, Red Room.
Right.
Like, so many things about The Shining is just
immortalized
in other
history,
movies.
Yeah.
Right. It's such an influence.
We've seen it in so many other movies, parodied in
anything
really. I mean, they've
right.
done
the
it
twins,
on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
They've
right.
done it on Family Guy. I mean, they've done it on everything.
Right. So everyone knows about it. So for your viewing
It's a
pleasure,
long one, so buckle down.
It is. It's
is
a lengthy
it?
Film.
It's like 3.5.
Oh my god. This explains why I've never gotten through that movie in one sitting.
Brett and I saw it in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
LA does the Hollywood Forever Cemetery screenings by Cinespia during the summer, and we went. It was crowded. We saw it above dead bodies on a shot on a mausoleum. It was magic.
That is incredible.
So, to keep your American Horror Story night going, we recommend The Shining.
Love
Pick it.
It
up. If you haven't seen it, you must if you're a horror fan.
And even if you're not a horror fan, you have to watch it
for
Shelley Duvall. Because
for the fashion goddess that is Shelley Duvall.
I mean, come on.
All right.
Those red boots.
They're made for walking.
I will never forget those red boots.
All right, moving on. Phil is going to hit us up with some
AfterBuzz TV news.
Well, guys, I've got a Ryan Murphy interview. So the first question is, you directed the pilot. Do you have a favorite moment or sequence? Ryan to that says, my favorite sequence is, we call it, when the Infantana attacks.
Infantata.
Tatas.
Thank you.
You said that wrong. You said Infantana.
Don't you want Infantana?
Yeah.
First off, let me tell you about this news. It was handed to me moments before the show.
Out of the press.
With scribbles
Not
everywhere.
I know.
It wasn't even polished.
I
loved
Take
the moment.
Take two.
There you go. I love the moment when Violet's bully is attacked in the basement for several reasons. I love the design of that creature. I love the influence on it. That's my favorite in terms of the production. I mean, I love acting. I love the Connie and Dylan fight. I love the Jessica, don't make me kill you again line.
As do I.
I mean, brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant.
Only stuff. Delivered like Jessica Lange can.
Right.
And the follow-up question is, will there be a payoff to that line? He says, oh yeah, it's the whole third episode. We will find out why she is killed.
Oh,
or why she killed her.
How interesting.
Excited.
That's a spoiler right there. Who didn't write spoiler on that?
Billy.
She says it in the episode. She says, don't make me kill you again. She killed her.
Yeah, but we didn't know it was the third episode. So, retrospectively, that was a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, sorry.
No, I don't think that.
So the next question is, I'm guessing people will mostly be talking about Rubber Man. Is that supposed to be a real man? Ryan Murphy says, oh, I can't say that. And I have taken a poll even among the crew. Who do you think the Rubber Man is? And no one got it right. I was shocked because I think it's obvious. Who do you think it is?
My boyfriend.
That was a shocker.
Just kidding.
I have my ideas about who it is. I think it's Tate.
Oh.
Ew.
That didn't even enter my mind,
yeah.
I'll be
honest
with you.
That's the only person who I think it is. Is Tate.
I think it's someone
we haven't met yet.
It's Rubber Man.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that in predictions.
I just predicted.
All right. Yeah. Well, the next thing is kind of a prediction or more fact because it's coming from Ryan. So I'm going to hold off on that as the last item.
Okay.
And go to the next one, which says Zachary Quintano.
Zachary Quinto.
Zachary Quinto. Sorry, I don't speak the Mexican.
Oh, my God. He's not even Mexican.
Well... whatever. I just completely... whatever.
I'm going to read this. Zachary Quinto to appear as gay former owner. TV Line reports that ZQ will appear as Chet, the former gay owner of the house who becomes friends with Vivian. He will be introduced in the show's two-part Halloween episode. First, in its regular time slot, Wednesday, October 26th, and then on Halloween night. With what we learn on the former owners, what does his friendship with Vivian mean?
I see. We've got a lot of spoilers here. I didn't even read that one.
We do have a lot of spoilers in there.
All right, well, I should have read the...
It's on the World Wide
one
Web.
Before, anyway.
It's true.
That was reported in, like, August.
Yeah.
You know what? Some people don't read that.
I did
like
not
Like David
know
who
that.
Doesn't have the internet?
I don't have the interwebs. Is. No, I have the interwebs.
Fair enough. Well, that's coming up a few episodes from now. And this is what Ryan says of the next episode. Next week's episode came about because in the writer's room, we talk about... Where are our theories? And all of us have that one. I'm really scared about someone breaking into my house. It's about what would you do if you moved into a place, somebody broke in, and you survived.
Oh.
Would you look at your house as a place of survival or as a place of hauntedness? What would you do? Would you get out or would you stay? It was also loosely based on the Richard Speck murders.
Now, do we know what the Richard Speck murders were?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
Oh.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
I'm guessing
Murphy.
Someone
Thanks
snuck
Ryan
into a house
Murphy.
And murdered
murdered
someone.
Some people. All
right,
so
Ryan
and that is your AfterBuzz TV news and gossip for American Horror Story for the season or series premiere.
Right. So leading us into our predictions for this series.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So we learned... obviously, as I've clearly spoiled for everybody.
You did. You ruined everything.
I'm sorry. Though. What can I say? So Zachary Quinto is making his triumphant return to television and is going to come in as Chad, the gay owner, who TV Line is saying that he's going to develop a friendship with Vivian. So my question to you guys, how do we see this unfolding? How do we see Vivian developing a friendship with somebody who's dead?
Well, I think the interesting thing and the thing
in the TV
he's the former gay owner, and we know that the gay owners
died.
We're both
one.
Dead.
Could be a different one.
It could be a different one. But I think the more important thing to talk about first is to figure out if she is becoming friends with this character Chad, and he is dead. One is everyone else that she's coming into contact in the house with. Also dead. Is Constance not living? Is Adelaide not living? Is Tate not living?
Right.
And is Moira not living, which clearly she's not. We already know that. But if they're all dead and these living people are being haunted by them in a sense, can other people see them? Like, if other people were to come into the home, would they also see them, or would they think they were crazy? When the girl came over with Violet,
she could see Tate.
She could see Tate.
Right.
So clearly there's some sort of manifestation in the house that is not only affecting the Harmon family.
Right. And I guess that's, can the house make itself visible to anybody? Clearly it made itself visible to the twins.
Right.
Whatever that creature was, they saw it. They saw it coming at them.
Right.
So maybe it's not so much that it's only visible to the Harmons, but more the fact that maybe they're all just dead anyway.
Right.
Which I think is going to
or
be...
Or maybe it's a home that plays to your fears.
Right.
Linking back to what you said about Zachary Quinto, I'm interested to see how they integrate him into the
right.
cast. Because
so
if he
she...
discloses to them that he's the former owner
they
of the house,
the
then they're going to know
dead.
He's dead.
Right.
So how... Then, I mean, that kind of blows the whole... Then they're going to realize that there are dead people around them.
Right. Well, maybe he's going to be coming in as...
A benevolent
like a friendly
force.
Neighbor. Or maybe he's going to be coming in as a good spirit as opposed to a more evil spirit.
Right. Maybe he's trapped.
Maybe he's trapped.
Maybe that's... I think that that's something... I mean, we see that in a lot of...
Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Oh, I was confused.
I was like, what is this weird show tune music?
Zachary Quinto is Casper.
It's possible. You never know.
I mean, it's definitely... What I take from the show is that clearly the creators, this is sort of a...
I mean, really, Phil.
Oh, he's a friendly ghost. Come on.
The
come
show
on.
Seems to be sort of a quilt of all these different American Horror Stories that have come before. It
yes.
seems to be a bunch of influences. And we've seen time and again in movies that focus on these haunted houses, it's usually spirits who are trapped.
Yeah.
Like we talked about in The Shining. And with other films like The House of Haunted Hill, The Haunting.
Amityville Horror.
It's always former inhabitants who are trapped. And they can oftentimes also be good ones who are opposing. So I think that will definitely be something that might come into contention. I see that definitely be down the line.
Yeah.
Speaking of horror films, this has gone and said, how happy are we that there's a horror movie that's going to be on every week, like a continuous, you know, this has never been done, a
right.
horror movie for TV.
Right.
It's pretty fantastic.
Right.
I'm very excited to see where they're going to be taking this series and how they're going to let the story develop.
And if it goes, you know, how many seasons they can sustain
right.
like a horror, basically, you know, literally a horror movie for.
Right. Exactly. So we kind of touched on it when we were talking about with Ryan's quote about the Rubber Man.
Yeah.
The biggest maybe mystery was who is the Rubber Man?
Right.
Who is this? Now you think it's Tate.
I think it's Tate only because he freaks me out the most out of anyone who's appeared so far.
Right.
Who's been introduced to us. And because he doesn't seem to have the best intentions,
mm-hmm.
as it is.
Right.
That's my reasoning.
I get it. I definitely, when you brought, I never thought that until you said it. That wasn't something that entered my mind. But once you said it, now I kind of get behind you, and I see how that could be. Because I obviously don't, we know it, we're told to believe it's not Ben, so I'm going to go with that. I'm going
right.
to believe that it wasn't Ben. And I think it would be kind of lazy to have it be somebody else that we haven't met yet. And also, I think it's pretty telling in Ryan's quote that he thinks it's obvious.
Right.
So, I'm...
I mean, that would be the most obvious choice for me.
Right.
Would be
I'm
Tate.
I think you've convinced me. I'm going to get behind you.
I know, and I think he's his own terrifying
I'm a genius.
S&M.
He's just some
creepy
force.
Thing that I don't... That terrifies me, I think about when I turn the lights off now. I don't know why he resonates, that Rubber Man resonates with me so much. But also, is he going to be, if he is his own character, is he going to be kind of like Ben's Moira for...
Mm, interesting.
For
Vivia.
Vivia.
Very
that would be interesting.
Yeah.
So where you're going. We're being cut off.
Are we being cut
that
off?
That was interesting.
That was so interesting.
All right. Well, we have so much more to talk about next time. We're going to have a great episode. We want to see you all back. You're going to see our faces next week. It's going to be a blast.
How lucky for
it
them.
It's going to be a blast.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.